resurrection of Jesus is the most joy-filled, life-changing event in human history. Do you know that? If you watch the ABC, I'm sure today that you'd be finding that out. ABC is always full of joy about Jesus, isn't it? Actually, a few years ago, you know that Q&A show? Who likes that? Yeah, okay. They had a panel on which were giving life-changing ideas that would change the whole world, radical thinking. And they had a man on there called Peter Hitchens. I don't know if you know him. He's the brother of Christopher Hitchens, the famous atheist. And they finished the show by going around the panel and saying, what would be the most radical life-changing thing, world-changing thing? And they got to Peter Hitchens and he said, if a man was raised from the dead, if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that would change everything, wouldn't it? Is that not true?
Yep.
Yep. See, that's why you should watch Q&A, for it's Christian content. I hope you understand my humour. That resurrection was a day that changed everything for all of humanity. There is nothing more that we need to grab hold of than the resurrection of Jesus Christ than to have our lives completely upset, because there's two things that people say are sure in this world: taxes and death. Is that true? Well, I can tell you there's three. Taxes, which are, some of us can dodge them a bit, but death and resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead and he brought something into this world which has changed everything. And I mean everything. At the cross, Jesus took the punishment for our sins. We said that on Friday. But if he stayed dead, that was a waste of time. He was raised with a body. Now, I just want to talk about that for a minute, because this is really exciting. If he was raised with a body, do you know what that means? Well, firstly, he had complete fellowship with his disciples, didn't he? Did you notice in the passage he ate some fish with them? Ghosts don't eat fish. He said, touch me. Right? And they touched him and their hands never went through him. He was a real man. Our hope is in a resurrected body. We will be raised from the dead with a body that'll look surprisingly like yours does now. But there'll be a few changes, won't there? Firstly, there'll be no sin in you. Now, I tell you, when I look forward to the resurrection, that's something I look forward to more than anything else. Because, do you know, do you ever have those days where you just go, oh, gee, I hate myself today. Why am I thinking that? Why am I doing that? Why did I say that? Why am I doing... There will be no more of that. There will be nothing in you that you look at and go, I wish that wasn't there. It will all be gone. Sin-free, completely. No remaining sinful nature. All gone once and for all. Isn't that going to be awesome? Yep. We'll be raised to a community of fellowship and love forever. And not only will you have no regrets and no shame, nobody else around you will have that either. Can you imagine fellowshipping like that? I can't actually, but it's going to be good. And we will live on a new earth where there'll be no weeds. How about that? No more weed spraying. Unnecessary. No more hardships. Nothing where everything goes wrong. Even the side of the dam won't burst anymore, if that ever happens to anyone. No frustration, no problems to dog our lives. There'll be no pride, no desire to lift ourselves up above others. There'll be no desire to tear anyone else down. Every relationship will be characterised by other person-centred love. Every moment will be joy, and we will feast together with the Father, with God the Father. There is going to be an awesome banquet, okay? Perfect fellowship. Never will there be fear of judgment, no expectation, no waking up, oh, what's going to happen today? Or, oh, now it's all gone wrong again. None of that. We will walk with God in the cool of the evening, through paradise, sharing our lives, our joys, as we walk and talk, we will know that we are his beloved, treasured possessions. Can you see what happened when Jesus rose from the dead? What this did for us? It changed everything. It gave us a future which is, I'll say it again, awesome. And this hope is not a vague possibility. Well, it might work out all right, and I might win the lottery too. This is a sure expectation. Absolutely definite. Can you hear that? Paul said this, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. So you understand that. If you don't believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, don't bother coming to church. It's a waste of time, okay? Yep. And you're lost in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep or those who have died in Christ, they're lost too. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. In other words, if your life is all about these few years that you have now without that future hope, you are to be pitied. Because your faith is a waste of time. And then you'll die and that's the end. But that's not the end. He goes on to say, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits is talking about when the tree, do you have this each year where your fruit, do you have fruit trees, you people? Some of you do. Gee, it's a responsive audience today. Whew. And you hang out when the, let's just say it's the mangoes, and the first one comes to be ripe and you go up and you smell it and it's not the right colour and you wait. And when the first one comes, you know that there's going to be a flood afterwards, don't you? He's saying, Jesus was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his turn. Christ first, the first fruits. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him. You are the second fruits, people. Do you get that? You are the second fruits. You will be picked off the tree because he was. Because he was raised from the dead, you too are part of the crop that follows. And you, your hope is absolutely sure. We can say this so many times, but because we are people who are quickly overcome by worries, aren't we? Those worries are temporary. The problems we face in this world are short-lived. We have an eternal hope. Our hope stretches forward. Our bodies at the present slowly waste away, as much as we hate that. But our future body will never decay. It will be immortal. If you want some homework, go home and read the whole of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. It's all about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to have a resurrected body, and so am I. And I'm going to have an afro, and you're all going to be bald. It's going to be good. Right. Okay. I just going back a little bit because I want to see in what Jesus faced in his final moments on the cross to look at how we can look at our lives in hope of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus, he was on the cross and he said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. When he said it is finished, what he meant is everything I have been called to do on this earth has been done. I have dealt with the sins of the world. He didn't actually descend into hell. He had at that moment, before he died, finished all of the work of the Father. Okay? And it had all reached his goal and he was totally in control because he didn't die from his injuries on the cross. Did you hear that? Did you hear what it said? He gave up his spirit. If he didn't give up his spirit, he wouldn't have died. In Luke 23, it says Jesus shouted, That's not a defeated man, is it? Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And then he breathed his last. He gave up his spirit. He cried out in a loud voice. His work was finished, and he handed himself into the Father's hands. He had already defeated the devil. He'd already defeated the power of sin and guilt and shame and evil. Already. He was the victor. And he, in absolute faith, entrusted himself to the Father's hands. In complete confidence. Why I say that is because this is where we live as the people of God. We live with such trust and such complete confidence that we can do, as Peter says, we can entrust ourselves or commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. We can hand our lives into God's hands, whatever we face. Now, when is this? We continue to do it all the time, don't we? Life can get confusing, but day by day, as we face whatever we face, we put our life into God's hands. We say, "I don't know what's going on now, but I trust you." That's kind of our way of going. A few years ago, I was sitting with Jody and we were watching a movie. And it was a miserable movie. You know, you get those miserable movies that are so miserable that after a while you think, well, that's what happened is Jody said to me, she stopped it and said, "Have you seen the end of this movie before? Because if this is going to if it's going to finish like this, I don't want to watch anymore." Right? And I hadn't. And I forget how the movie watched because, well, I just remembered what she said, which was important. Like, who wants to watch a movie where they all just end up, you know, yeah? We want to know what happens in the end, don't we? We want to know how it works out good. You ever watch those non-happy ever after movies? They're rubbish, aren't they? Our hearts are designed for the happily ever after, aren't they? The happily ever after that we know that God has planned for us through Jesus Christ. That is the happily ever after, which is absolutely guaranteed for God's people. Can you hear that? It is guaranteed because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And whatever we face in life, we can remember this. He said it is finished. The work needed for your salvation is finished. He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." We can commit our spirit. We can entrust our lives with God all the time. And he also said, "Peace be with you." We can live our lives with the peace of knowing that we belong to God through Jesus Christ. If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ and you're sitting here, you're missing out on basically everything ever, okay? You will have the worst case of FOMO for eternity, okay? Trust in Jesus Christ because there you can and will experience eternal life. True confidence. You can trust God and you can even trust God with your family, because that's harder, isn't it? Especially if you've got children. You can entrust your children to God. I want to just tell quickly the story to finish off of Job. It's a story of the Bible that we've been talking a little bit about lately in some of our Bible studies. And you know the story of Job, do you? Some of you know the story of Job. He starts the book with a whole lot of hardship, including the death of his children, the loss of his money, the loss of his livestock. And he is in absolute agony, as you would be. And in that time, some friends come and try and comfort him. But after a while, they turn out to be those type of friends who just want to tell you where you're wrong. You know those ones? He'd want to say, "Well, actually, it's your fault you're in the position you're in. You deserve to get there." I'm just taking up reading from Job 19, verse 21. This is a happy story, by the way. You've got to understand this because you've got to know where Job is right now. Do you know where Job is right now? He's in heaven. He has eternal life. I'll tell you how we know that in a minute. But he says this to his friends, "Have pity on me. Have pity on me, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Stop paying me out," he's saying. God's the one who's, I don't know why this has happened, he says, but I know that God's in control and I'm going to trust in him. Because we hear too often when people, when Christians get sick, they have other Christians come around and tell them that the reason for their sickness, that, you know, you get over it if you had a bit more faith, or you've got some sort of a demon because your great-grandpa was in the Freemasons or something like that, and you know, because the whole power of God can't be taken away by some grandpa who was a Freemason, can it? Yeah? That just ruins everything, does it? Or is Christ more powerful than that? Is he? Can you get that? The loudest voices we often hear in our suffering is condemnation, and we feel it as guilt. What we need to hear about is the resurrection of Christ. People are coming to tell us about temporary stuff rather than eternal. He says this. This is Job's hope. He says, write this down. Well, it's not how he says, if that my words were recorded that they were written on a scroll, which they were eventually, and they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. These words need to stay forever. I know that my Redeemer lives. That's what he said. Job lived 2000 BC, 2000 years before Jesus came. And he's talking about Jesus. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Jesus is going to come and stand on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. After I've died, I'm going to have new flesh, and with physical eyes, I'm going to see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I am not another. How my heart yearns within me. Isn't that awesome? I don't know what's happening in my life right now. Things seem to be going terribly wrong in lots of ways, but I've got a hope. I will be raised from the dead and I will see my Redeemer. Even when all else is completely blown away, his Redeemer is his justifier, the one who would make him right, the one who would make him perfect. Because you see, people say of Job, well, it's all worked out in the end because Job ends up with lots more riches and some more kids, and so there's a happily ever after. But that's not Job's hope, you see. Job's hope was in the eternal. His hope was because he knew the end of the story. It wasn't one of those miserable movies after all. It was the one where it works out good. And he could say, I'm entrusting myself to a faithful Creator. And my heart yearns for him. My heart yearns for that moment where I'm with him. I want it more than anything else in this world. He knew there was a resurrection. What I want to encourage you with just again today, life has great times of joy and great times of hardship. Through all of that, entrust yourself to the faithful Creator. Because when you do, you will live with a hope which is unsquashable. It's not like that midget I got my arm before. This hope is unshakable because it's in a kingdom which cannot be knocked over. And it's ruled by a king who no one will ever defeat again because he was raised from the dead. That's the hope that we have, and we can entrust ourselves into the Father's hands, whatever we face, because nothing can take away the hope we have. Let's pray. Father, everything I've said today has been words, and yet in it's truth. And I pray, Father, that your truth, the truth of your resurrection, would now settle in our hearts. And Father, that we would yearn for that, and our hope would be in that above all else in this world. I pray, Father, that you would surround us with the knowledge of all that you've done, your finished work, that we might have full and complete joy in your Son, Jesus. I pray that you would fill each one here with your Holy Spirit, that they may live continually with the revelation of your word, the revelation of your gospel, the knowledge of your truth and of your love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish with the song, King of Kings.